Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, hour number three. Good to have you with us on a Misery Monday in the nation's capital and beyond. You got two Monday night games tonight. Somebody, we think, has to win between the 0-3 Dolphins, 0-3 Jets. Although, as we found out late last night, not every game ends in a win and a loss. Right? 40-40 tie between Green Bay and Dallas. So you can't absolutely say that somebody's got to win. But that game's right here on the Team 980. It should be interesting, despite the records. Cincinnati-Denver, I am not feeling like that I'm going to be around for the second half of that game. I might have to skedaddle. Because to think that Jake Browning is going to march all over the field, even with the weapons that they have against that Denver defense. I don't know. Not feeling it, man. And by the way, can we have any more windows just completely covered up by the NFL? I mean, Thursday night football, Sunday morning football, Sunday afternoon all day football, Sunday night football, two Monday night football games. And, you know, if you're like me, I mean, listen, I know we don't talk a ton of college football on the show, but I got to watch it because occasionally you see a player that jumps out at you that, you know, is then in the draft. Or, you know, I mean, you can't just not watch any college football and then all of a sudden start talking about it when the playoffs come around. Right? And occasionally I have to do some national stuff, so I got to keep up. And we had the debut of all things AMAC, where we broke down three big college football games. By the way, did anybody see Lane Kiffin at the end of the game on Saturday?
Yeah, he said looking, something. He said he was looking for Witt.
Yeah,
right?
He was looking for Witt, who, by the way, was barfing early in the game. Mm-hmm. Did you see that?
Yeah.
And Witt. What's his last name? Whit Weeks.
One of three Weeks brothers.
Yeah, the captain linebacker for LSU's defense. And he's dating
Landry.
Landry, who's Lane Kiffin's daughter. I saw a lot of Lane Kiffin last week. Between all those clips and take the over, he's like, you know, I got to find out if we got the over or whatever. Mm-hmm. Then I saw a documentary that, not Marty Smith, but the other guy, Marty McGee. It's Marty Smith and something McGee. I forgot the guy's name. That he did, that they put together on an E60, which was really good, right? I had forgotten. It's just out of sight, out of mind, how much of a petulant little punk Lane Kiffin used to be.
Yeah, he still kind of is. Yeah. Like, I think you think about Brett Bielema, like, his personality on Twitter. Lane Kiffin is like the evil twin of that. He's just...
Is Bielema known for having... Really? I don't remember that either.
Yeah, just this offseason, I think that's part of the reason Illinois came in. I mean, they had a good team and a lot of returning players, but Brett Bielema was kind of on Twitter letting people know, like, hey, this is why we should be ranked high.
All right.
So he was...
I missed that.
...really pounding his chest.
I mean, listen, they beat USC.
Yeah.
Last second field goal.
I mean, after getting demolished by Indiana,
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, it's a good win by them, nonetheless.
It was a good day of college football. I watched
great day.
I mean, I watched a ton of – I mean, how about Alabama going into Georgia? And, I, you know, ultimately that game was close, but Alabama really outplayed them from A to Z, yeah. I thought. And my goodness, Penn State, Oregon in the double overtime. And Penn State was left for dead, came back, tie it, and then really just a boneheaded decision.
By Drew Aller.
By Drew Aller on that. I mean, if you're going to lose, you want to lose on your own accord, not because of just a dagger mistake that you make because you tried to float one.
Yeah.
And, boy, I know James Franklin and Penn State failed again, top five, all the numbers that everybody throws out. I'm not saying that he didn't deserve any blame. I mean, they were pretty conservative. They were out of sync, out of rhythm for 3-plus quarters. Got it. They've got to play better. They've got to find a way to win these games, especially at home.
Mm-hmm.
But that was just like, I mean, Oregon's a damn good football team. And by the way, if Dan Lanning was your head coach, I mean, that dude looked like he could eat worlds in the interview at the end of the game Catherine Tappan.
Yeah.
I mean, my goodness, you want to talk about an intense, high-wired dude?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. But probably the kind of guy you would like to play for.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure he can ride your ass and get after you, but probably the kind of guy you would just run through a brick wall with.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, Dante Moore, I think, was the highlight of that game.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think he outplayed Drew Aller. I think
you called that on Friday.
Yeah, he's been
on. I think
he's
said Dante Moore was going to outplay Drew Aller. Or you said something very complimentary of Dante Moore.
Yeah, he's been on fire. Yeah. Him and the Oregon offense have been on fire.
And I thought Penn State was going to win. So
I mean, it's just one – I think – honestly, Penn State, they still look better than they had in years past. So I'm still hopeful that they'll get a win. They have Ohio State on their schedule and Illinois on their schedule, I believe. Penn State. They have opportunities to still show. I mean, you would rather they do it versus Ohio State because that's kind of the big game opponent that Penn State's known for losing to. But the way they played, especially in that second half and the fourth quarter, I think that they can still get it done. I mean, with this new CFP system, they're not completely.
Yeah, not by any means.
Yeah, they're not out of the playoffs. So they'll have other chances to do it. And I think that the way they look, of course, Drew Aller, I think, is going to have to step up and play a little better. But again, this is when it comes to big games. I look at Oregon last year in the Big Ten Championship, Ohio State last year. I look at them against Notre Dame, which they played pretty well into another bonehead interception for Drew Aller. But in those other two games versus Ohio State and Oregon, I think they kind of got dominated in those games. Yeah. So the way they played this past game, pushing it into overtime and this close to coming away with the win, because Oregon didn't get that 2-point conversion. Like if Penn State goes down there, scores a touchdown and gets the 2-point conversion, that's the game.
Yeah,
so.
You're right. You're right. And then and you have to go for 2 points
after the first
in
round.
That in the second overtime. Penn State has at UCLA, which should be a win, although you know long road trip. But God, UCLA.
They just fired their coach too.
UCLA.
Yeah. They fired
a couple of weeks ago. Deshaun Foster. I watched the end of their game at Northwestern.
Mm-hmm.
I mean. Their quarterback, I am Oliva, or whatever his name is.
I just go Nico.
Right, that they stole from Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you want to talk about a robot and in slow motion? I mean, they had no juice, no nothing at the end of that game, trailing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were like in stuck in molasses. But Penn State's at UCLA, home for Northwestern. So, I mean, you would think 2 wins there. Tough one at Iowa, though. I don't know if Iowa's great. Right?
They pushed Indiana this weekend.
Yeah. I mean, Iowa's, you know, tough, but I don't know if they're great. And then, you know,
should win
at Ohio State after a bye, mm-hmm. November 1st.
Yeah.
And then Indiana at home.
Gotcha.
So, and everything else is winnable and beatable, but back-to-back tango at Ohio State, Indiana, and I mean, if you want to, at Iowa, but, you know, they have a bye week between at Iowa and at Ohio State for Penn State.
Yeah.
So. Anyway,
I just want to touch on, you talked about Nico Iyer, and in contrast with that, they they got Nico Wye, UCLA did, and then they send Joey Aguilar to Tennessee. So they basically did a trade.
Yeah.
And Joey Aguilar is down there balling in Tennessee. So I know. I mean, I wonder how Deshaun Foster feels about that move now, with him not being there anymore. And I know UCLA fans in general aren't happy about it.
I mean, that program. Like, under Chip, they were disappointing because it would seem like every time they would make, like, a big step, they would take two steps back. But they'd do anything right now to have Chip Kelly still there and to be doing what he was doing, right? They'd do anything because it has just been – who did they have last Deshaun Foster replaced. It was Eric Bieniemy, the former offensive coordinator here, that went to UCLA last year, and he was terrible. They fired him.
He was just the offensive coordinator.
Right. He wasn't the head coach. He was the OC.
Yeah.
They called it a mutual decision, but they fired him.
Yeah.
And then Deshaun Foster they fired after a couple. Bieniemy?
Yeah.
I think he's an assistant running backs coach for, the Bears.
Yeah, he is a running back coach for the Bears. Yeah.
I don't even know if he's the running backs coach. He might be the assistant. I got to double check that, but I believe I remember that. Boy, long time since Eric Bieniemy and all that love. All right, back to the phones we go. Let's go to Steve in Rockville to kick off hour number three. Again, Dan Quinn at 3:30 or thereabouts. What's up, Steve? How are you?
I'm doing fine. I hope you're well.
I'm doing great. Thanks for the buzz. Hope you're doing good as well.
I have 2 points, but the first, everybody loved Trey Amos, but yesterday I didn't see him, and I know he caused at least 2 penalties. What's your thoughts about him?
Yeah, he didn't stand out by any stretch, good or terrible, but maybe I haven't watched the film yet. Or the all 22. So I remember at least the one penalty. I'm trying to remember the second one. But to be honest with you, so many others stood out in a worse way that I kind of got lost in the sauce, to be honest with you. I'm trying to look it up real quick in terms of his grade from PFF just to see what they gave him. I always like to kind of bounce that off of him so far. I mean, you know, look, Trey Amos so far, right, through 4 games has acquitted himself pretty well. He's not great by any stretch. He really has kind of struggled tackling-wise. Yesterday they had him, did PFF, if my computer could ever work right, which it never wants to do on the bottom row, they had him as a solid grade, I believe is their color coding, because I can't actually see the pure numbers. I don't think it was as bad as, like, I felt about Marshawn Lattimore, about Quan Martin, even Jeremy Reeves, Bobby Wagner to some degree. I don't think it was as bad as I felt about those guys, but it wasn't very good.
Well, that's a theory of relativity, but I just didn't hear him or see him except in those 2 penalties, and I was just – that's why I was interested in your thought.
Yeah, yeah.
I have another point, if you'll let me do it.
Sure, go ahead.
Another point is
– I wouldn't worry that much about Amos. I mean, right now, he's their best corner, period. Okay, right now. San Ristella, even though he had the interception, he struggled. Again, Lattimore has struggled. Right now, he's their best, and that's somewhat problematic, quite honestly. Go ahead.
The other point is I often hear you pick on yourself and say people don't like you.
Yes.
But I wish you'd stop it because we wouldn't be listening unless we really enjoy you.
Oh, that's very kind of you. I appreciate that.
I wish you'd stop picking on you. It's you're wasting your time.
I hear you. It's a little bit of self-deprecating humor. It's a little bit of sarcasm on my end, but it's a fair point. It's a fair point. But I appreciate. I will say this, Steve. When people reach out like you just did, right, and say nice things, of course it makes you feel good as a human being. But it does mean a lot because for me, it kind of validates. Okay, listen. I know I'm not everybody's cup of tea. I got it. But I know I make enough of an impact on enough people that I know I'm doing the right thing. You know, I'm not perfect, and I'm not telling you that that I have all the answers and that I know everything. And maybe a younger me would have told you that, quite honestly. But that does mean a lot. So thank you.
All right, but you do an awful lot of, you bring us a lot of information and joy, and that's a lot. You can't ask more from yourself.
I appreciate that.
So be a good boy, okay?
I'll try and be a good boy. Thank you, Steve. I appreciate that very much. That does mean a lot. I mean, like when people reach out, you know, privately or on the radio or whatever, and I know obviously a lot of you guys like what I do because you wouldn't listen, right? You wouldn't call, you know, whatever. I mean, I'm not saying I'm perfect. Far from it. And I'm not saying I have every answer or everything you want or I'm going to think exactly the way you want me to. I'm not. I'm not for everybody. But I think if you listen to the show every day, and even if you look Twitter or certainly if you get to know me in my personal life, you know that I'm not a bad guy, right? I sometimes pick on people. Sometimes I get picked on. But I'm not a bad guy, right? I try hard. Not perfect, but I try hard. All right, let's take a quick timeout here and get back on track, and then we'll get to Walton Tampa and finish up the calls on the other side. And Dan Quinn will speak at about 3:30, so we'll have that for you right here on the Team 980.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we got a bunch of callers. We want to try and hit Dan Quinn, so we got to go as fast as we can. Let's go to Walt in Tampa on line two. What up, Walt? How are you?
Hey, Rooster, I'm going to be real quick. I don't know if you remember, man. I used to love to hate you, man. I told you that. And then you became my number one. I was getting ready to leave the Skins.
My guy. Right, I do remember.
Hey, yeah. Right before COVID. Mm-hmm. Yep. And I heard you talking. I said, who is this guy representing the team just beating us into the ground? And you kept me around long enough to find out you was just a big teddy bear. It was a big
attaboy. I remember. And we talk on Facebook from time to time that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I got you.
Hey, look. I was in Tampa. I mean, I'm in Atlanta right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, I was having a great time until the fourth quarter. Bro.
Yeah.
I told Doc early into the camp. I said, something's not – the energy wasn't the same. It's like we brought in a bunch of cats the year before, and then the next year we brought back a bunch of superstars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, they came with the gold chains and it. Their whole approach to me, this is just my own personal, you know, I just look at it. And then with Terry, you know, with all that winning and then Terry not showing up to camp, I think it polluted a little bit of our culture. And I'm hoping we get it back. I really do. These people we paying all this money to, I hope they show up sooner or later. But and we learn how to tackle.
You know, Walt, it's kind of funny when you were describing that. You don't hear much about the brotherhood these days, do you?
When you do, it's not like they said it. I mean, they were committed to it last year.
Yeah.
You know, and you could feel it. I didn't feel them this year like I did last year. And they were strangers last year.
Every team is different, man, every year. It's a week-to-week, but it's also really a year-to-year league. So,
well, I love you guys. I know the coach getting ready to come up. I'm going to say adios, and I'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate you, Walt. Thank you. Good to hear from you. Let's get to Mitch in Jersey real quick. Get him in here. What's up, Mitch?
Hi, Rooster.
Hey, Mitch.
I tell you, I can't wait for James Daniels to get back. Where's the running game? And that pass rush, I do miss it. And, you know, there's one game I saw, if you're speaking about college ball, one game I definitely watched, you know, it was exciting. Go Lincoln, I think the best play, I think, he won't get the Heisman because he's a wide receiver, but this kid, Mekhi Lemon, he was like a vibe queen. He was like a Jack Lemon of wide receivers. Thank you for taking my call, letting me talk. Let's hear the coach now.
You got it, Mitch. Thank you. I you know who I watched way too much of on Saturday afternoon? Jeremiah Love. My goodness. And Arkansas is firing everybody. They fired Sam Pittman. They fired their defensive coordinator today, two defensive assistants.
Yeah, Petrino's back.
Yeah, well, Petrino was back at the school as their OC.
Yeah, but he's now the interim
coach. Now he's the interim head coach. Yeah. He wants to be the permanent head coach.
And he actually came in and fired everybody.
Yeah.
Like it was just Pittman who got fired, and then they came in.
Correct, exactly. Everybody. All right, we got to take a timeout. We got to get to Dan Quinn. We're not going to do like a lot of Dan Quinn, so we should have a couple of minutes on the back end of that to take. I just can't listen to the nonsense for 10-12 minutes. I'm sorry, it's just not happening. I just don't care enough about what these guys have to say, and they're all hiding and they're all kind of like lying in the woods and not saying anything important. But we will play it for you, just see if we can get some sort of indicator on Jaden Daniels and maybe some more of what's going on with the defense. Next on the Team 980, the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Dan Quinn, Commander's head coach. Hopefully we'll get a little bit of an update on Javonte Jean-Baptiste. Oh, Linnell, you have an update? Well, I it's kind of hard to hear you through the glass.
Yeah.
I mean, he's expected to have a surgery,
MRI,
right?
MRI this morning. Still holding out hope. It's a partial tear, not a total tear.
Okay. All right. That's a good update. Holding out hope. Based on the MRI results or no?
I hadn't responded to me yet. Was DMing with him earlier this afternoon.
All right. Well, hope, you know, we might not get clarity then, especially. Listen, I mean, again, Jonathan Allen came back in, what was it, 8 weeks? Maybe it was 9 weeks. I can't remember. He got hurt in the Baltimore game, and then he was back. Was it the Atlanta Sunday night game? Was that his first game back? I think that was his first game back. So whatever that is, like 8-9 weeks. I mean, you know, maybe there's a chance. I said with Denton and Linnell on the pregame show that Javonte Jean-Baptiste, you know, I thought maybe he could help them. And he did, you know, I mean, he did flash a little bit before getting injured. Run defense was not the problem yesterday. It was everything else. Like, you walk away, the touchdown of Bijan Robinson, obviously, the rushing touchdown was bad tackling. Revo's got to make that tackle. I know it's tough, but he's got to make that tackle. It goes right through the middle of the defense. And I think Quan was also involved in that, I think. But that was not the problem yesterday. That really wasn't. It was everything else. No pass rush, not enough turnovers, terrible tackling. Probably the worst tackling I've seen from this team under Dan Quinn. I can't remember a game last year that jumps out more in terms of bad tackling. I have Von Miller behind the line of scrimmage on Tyler Allgeier, the touchdown Bijan up the middle. God, I mean, Eddie Goldman missed one. Quan missed like three or four. Revo missed another one, I think. Lattimore had the holding penalty and still gave up the 45-yard catch. That's just so bad. Just so bad. Just so bad. All right. Do you want me to take a call here, AMAC, or because we...
Yeah, let's do it while we're waiting.
You take a call while we wait. By the way, the Commanders are going to make an announcement that I found to be interesting. I can't tell you what it is, but Dan Quinn is expected to make an announcement about this week and this week's schedule, which is interesting. You'll hear it. I'm not allowed to say it until he announces it, but you might be able to figure out 2-2. We're awaiting Dan Quinn, but let's squeeze in a call here and get to somehow we'll have to squeeze in Pauly and try that. What up, Pauly?
Hell to the W, man. Let's start with the loss. What do you mean, squeeze in Pauly? Pause, number one. What do you mean, man? Come on.
Well, you know, I mean, listen, we've got to keep the line moving, Pauly, and you just happen to – I mean, if there's somebody that we want to squeeze because of the insane dribble that comes out of your mouth, you know, I mean, it's you. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't want to squeeze you in a different way. Exactly.
Yeah, pause. Hey, listen, man.
Go ahead, Pauly, any time now.
This team, because it just blows my mind – that how this team is bipolar and it's coming from coaching. And like the previous caller said, you've seen this in the preseason. And I kind of – and it's kind of all correlated together.
Pauly, hang on, Pauly. We're going to put you on hold. We'll let you finish up. But Quinn, we got to go to him now because they started a couple of minutes late. So just hang on. Dan Quinn at the podium in Ashburn.
Pec injury, and that will knock him out for a while for sure. I know you'll probably ask also about Jaden. He had a strong workout here Saturday, and we'll take today and tomorrow and work out his practice plan. We'll go through the whole process with him this week, medically, how he feels, how he practices, and give you the updates Wednesday as I know him. And I thought just from a team standpoint, sit here 2-2. And the vibes of the two losses, two wins, lots to discuss through there. I thought really just sustaining high energy throughout. You've heard me use different boxing analogies, and I do that with the team. Not looking to feel it out through the first round to see where it goes. You just want to be aggressive, want to be bold, you know, right from the beginning. What I do know is that this is a resilient team. We'll grow from yesterday, and we have to. But lots for us to correct and get right, and before we take it out on the road to head out to L.A. So all that said, glad to get started with you guys this afternoon.
Go ahead, John.
Dan, can you also update on like guys like Terry, Noah, John Bates?
Yeah, I would say we're all trending in the right space on there, John. We'll have a better update on Wednesday in terms of practice planning and that. But arrows are heading up for a number of the guys. The big news today was Javonte with the game. But for the guys that have missed some, we're making progress.
And then one of the themes has been those explosive plays in the pass game allowed. Why does that keep happening, and what can you guys do to fix that?
Yeah, and we definitely have to. It's for sure, you know, a combination of things. Like most things, when there's, you know, some issues that you want to fix, you want to get it cleaned up as quickly as you can. On some, it could be as simple as a communication of a switch of a, you know, receiver of 2 and 3. Certainly helps, you know, from our pass rush when we're really ripping into that space to go. And then communication, you know, like in line, how does it go? You know, the calls quickly to, you know, communicate to one another. So we'll work really hard to nail that. We have to, and we will get better at that for sure.
Nikki?
I mean, how about Sam Cassidy? I know this is the first week that he's eligible to be activated. What's your plan here for him?
Yeah, we're going to huddle up here soon, but he's getting closer for sure for, you know, begin his window to begin practice. We'll give you a definite answer on that Wednesday, but he's really put in a lot of work to begin that window to begin the practicing. So we'll huddle up on that tonight and tomorrow, but I'll give you an answer for that Wednesday, but it's definitely trending in the right spot, Nikki.
And then Luke McCaffrey, what have you seen out of him just in his growth as a receiver, especially these last 2 weeks, and then his contributions on special teams as well?
Yeah, I recognized him today in the special teams meeting. I thought, what a cool play. He catches a touchdown and then makes a tackle, you know, on the next play on a kickoff and involved in a tackle. I think that speaks to him as the competitor. I love the fact that, you know, the opportunity is there for him to dig in some more, and like he's taking advantage of it, whether that's on offense or on the return game. He's got a fearless side to him as a returner, which in this day and age, in terms of the kickoff return, you have to do that. It's what makes Debo excellent at it, what makes him excellent at it. So over the last 2 weeks, I've certainly been pleased to see the growth in Luke.
Tom? Dan, what's your level of concern with the missed tackles yesterday, and is there anything you can do midseason to address that?
Oh, yeah. There's plenty to do. In each practice and each day, you can work on that hard time. It doesn't have to be something that you have to take to the ground, but you do have to get your angles, your tracking correct. But they're way too high. We were in double digits, and if you hit double digits between defense and special teams, that is too many. Going into it, we knew Bijan, you know, is somebody that's exceptional at that. But you track two-man tackles, and we've got work to do. Yeah, we were not pleased with our tackling performance. And, yes, there is plenty you can do to work on that.
David Aldridge?
Dan, the second and longs and third and longs that they were able to consistently get, you know, big yardage chunk plays on that. I mean, where is the line between a physical mistake, whether it's somebody not getting home on the rush and somebody not taking a good angle, and then the communication issues that allow people to kind of run free?
Sure. I think you're right. We didn't talk about the second and longs, because up until maybe through up the first half, through the first three games and into the first half, you know, defensively on third down, that had actually been – we'd been leaning into one of our strengths. But I thought the same as you. We had some second and longs that were able to be converted. It was – second and 12, second and 15, second, you know, maybe might even been second and 17. That's a one you want to be in, you know, like there's something that took place good to go. So heading into the last drive, that's where the third down I was disappointed in, because I said, like, over the first three and a half weeks, but I meant like the first half of the game, I think they might have been 2 of 6, but three conversions DA on the last drive. That was hard. That was difficult. It wasn't just one call. One had been a zone pressure. One had been a man-to-man. One had been a man pressure. And that's where it has to be all connected. But as far as the second downs go, usually that's a screen or you give up to one. So for us to give up some on those, you're setting yourself up for a great third down. And so to not nail those, I think that was one of the examples where I just, you know, didn't feel the same type of energy intensity that, you know, I'd seen just the week before. And so we're going to really push hard to make sure this sustains, man, all the way throughout the game. And if we do that, you know, I know what that looks like. And when we don't, unfortunately, I also have proof of that.
Dan, do you think anybody is being targeted in particular on defense, or do you think it's just a matter of on a particular play there's, a physical or a communication issue that leaves somebody isolated that maybe shouldn't be isolated?
Yeah, a little bit of both, Dave, to be honest with you. There could be, at some point, somebody has a hard down. Like, that's just how it is. If it's man-to-man, it's outside. If you're in zones, oftentimes, like, who's number three? That can be a linebacker, and you don't want that matchup to go. So there could be 20 times where the matchup could have happened, but the certain formation didn't click to go. So I think it's a little bit of a combination of both. You know, certainly give credit to Atlanta to, you know, schematically have some, but we've also, you know, got to have the right leverage. You got to have the right techniques. And if you do that, you give yourself a fighting chance even when they're hard. But if you don't, boy, we all know, like, hard matchup and poor technique, that'll put you in a bad space fast.
Tashawn? You're good. Scott?
Hey, Dan. The slow starts on the road. As a coach, coaching staff, is there any way you can improve that? Is that something you can help with?
Yeah, we want to talk through all the things to, you know, in terms of like the energy to have it sustained, Scott. I think it's important to not, you know, shy away from one or the other. Our process is the same, but we want to make sure, like in that boxing analogy, you're not waiting it out, you know, see where we are. All of a sudden you're behind 10-0. And so, man, let's play bold. Let's play aggressive right from jump street. And when we do that, it can carry over into it. But you don't want to say you can only start fast. If you punt, that doesn't mean you're going to lose the game, or if you, you know, give up a field goal. But it does mean you're entering into the arena, into the contest, you know, in the right mindset to go throw the first punch and be aggressive. And we'll work hard to continue to do that. It's really a mindset. It's a way. And if you go into it in that way, you know, you have a way better chance of, you know, going forward. I love the fight for the team, but, you know, fighting to stay in it is different than fighting to finish the play. And so I want to make sure, like, our attitude, our mindset is absolutely bold and aggressive.
All right, that is the meat and potatoes there of Dan Quinn. I don't know if we missed it at the very beginning because we joined a couple of seconds in, but the team is going to head out to Los Angeles on Thursday after practice. And practice at the LA Coliseum on Friday afternoon, and then play on Sunday afternoon. So they're spending a long weekend out in Los Angeles. Interesting because the Tampa Bay, the Philadelphia Eagles did the same thing with Tampa, but that was because of heat and humidity. So they practiced Friday down in Tampa. So the Commanders are not going to have to deal with heat and humidity out in Los Angeles, but you're getting that long flight out and you're settling down, having a semi-important practice on Friday, a walkthrough on Saturday, and the game on Sunday. So again, that was what I was referring to before the press conference. Again, not sure if Dan Quinn announced that at the very beginning that we missed or if he's just going to announce it here in a sec, but we just couldn't wait any longer. So there you have that. Looking upwards for Terry McLaurin, John Bates, Noah Brown. Again, that does not mean they're going to play. Reevaluating, of course, Jaden Daniels as they go along. Good workout on Saturday. Going to practice on Wednesday. We will see. I think you could start to feel good if he gets a full practice in Wednesday or Thursday, but we will see. And as far as Javonte Jean-Baptiste, he will be out for a while, as we all kind of assumed, but they didn't get specific, which is not a surprise. All right, so there you have that. Let's go back to Pauly and let him finish up. Pauly, sorry for interrupting, but DQ was talking. How are you?
Oh, that's no problem at all, man. No problem at all. Hey, I didn't want to hear that crap either, man. I mean, I don't even want to hear you going to San Diego or L.A. early anyway. I mean, are you bringing an emotion with you? Are you bringing some smarts? Because in our two losses, the teams come out flat. I mean, we're playing scared. I don't understand it. I said this earlier last week with Sheen that they can't pick and choose when they want to be tough guys. You got to be a tough guy at all times. You got to come out here with a physical mindset at all times, not being passive aggressive. And that's what I seen yesterday, man. Before the, hey, I want to apologize to everybody that I called a dummy and a number. Any name I said about you when they said that, when y'all were talking about Joe Witt should be on the hot seat. Oh, yo, most definitely. Y'all was right. I was wrong.
Wait. I thought you were going to apologize for accusing me of loser talk when I was telling you all week that the Falcons were dangerous.
No, I don't know what. No. You was telling me all week how we was going to lose.
Yeah, and I was right.
Every team.
I was right. As usual.
No, you was right. No. I was right. If they came out and played the way I said they needed to play, run the ball, stop the run, we would have won.
They did stop the run outside of one play.
No, they contained the run. They contained the run. And I also said put pressure on the quarterback. They didn't do that.
They did not do that.
My man Witt want to keep rushing with four defensive end. I mean, four linemen. Like, we got Murderer's Row up front when we don't. At some point, when are you going to blitz? You let the man sit in the pocket and pick you apart.
I mean, they normally blitz a lot, but you can't blitz every down. I mean, they're not good enough in man coverage. They don't have enough speed.
Listen. I'd rather go out in a blaze of glory than die by death.
But try that against Justin Herbert as 6'5", as he rolls away from coverage and makes throws across his body and throws bullseye darts all over the place on Sunday. Try that.
We're not talking about Justin Herbert. We're talking about a quarterback that came off one of his worst games ever, and we needed to keep that bad feeling, the bad taste in his mouth, pause, but we didn't. We let him get comfortable. We let him get his confidence up, and he picked us apart. We did nothing to try to change it. We didn't blitz. We didn't bring any pressure from anywhere. We just kept coming with this four-man rush that he kept picking up, and he kept picking us apart. And on offense with Cliff Kingsbury, he keep running inside. If we get the ball, we got to set the tone. Like, listen, in four games, our running backs haven't been stopped, but we haven't committed to the run at all. Your man rip off a 60-yard run. He don't touch the ball again until 2-3 off in the series later.
That's the problem.
They got me choking over here.
Sorry, Paul. You need some water?
I got some water right here.
Okay.
They got me choking over here.
Well, why don't you recover and let me get on to another call?
The best part of this team, which has been the best part of this team the whole season, outside of a kicker missing a kick here, and has been a special team. I salute to Izzo. I appreciate you having our special teams ready to play. Everybody else, man, they're doing this Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde stuff, man. We got to be – where's the identity at? We got to be one way at all times.
You got to have an identity.
Identity.
Rooster,
man, I love you, man. Hail to the W,
Thank
man.
You, Paulie. I love you, too. Let's get to Chris in D.C. Next up. What's up, Chris?
What's going on, man?
Chris,
I told you we're gonna get
the shaking, baby.
Man. I know.
I picked them too.
Yeah,
I mean, I was with you.
Hey, you said it too. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And I can't wait to talk to AWOT. But anyway, check this out. Like, I'm always speaking optimistic. Listen, Commanders offense played well. I don't care what nobody say. They played well. Atlanta defense never gave up this many points. You're looking at Carolina, we gave up 30 points. No, we gave up 30 points to Carolina because we gave up short field and the game was over at the end. Your offense moved the ball, and that's a bright sign. They moved the ball and they played well for the players they had there. Michael Penix.
Right, but they didn't cash in the red zone enough.
Absolutely, and that's what we talked about too. And guess what? Michael Penix, he got sacked 3 times this whole year and got hit 9 times total. So the offensive line in Atlanta is pretty solid. And, hey, it doesn't even matter. Y'all did the same game plan Carolina did. They brought 4, got pressure on Michael.
Oh, we lost Chris. All right. Chris was in his victory rant. Sorry, Chris. You can call back tomorrow, and we'll let you finish up. All right, coming up next, dumb of the day. I have a story. I'm a little nervous about going with it, so I have to make a final decision in the final break of the show. That's next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, I decided to go against the one that I found at the last minute. Too political. It has something to do with Paul Feinbaum. For those of you that know who he is, I'm sure you can go check it out somewhere. Nah. This one is better and sicker. Headline. Delivery app driver gets order for zip ties, bleach, and a hatchet. And he made the delivery. Here's what he did then. A hostage was being held in a Texas hotel room. However, the delivery driver in the Sweetwater, Texas area at the Sweetwater Inn earlier a week ago received a call about a suspicious delivery made to Neil Cooper, a 42-year-old. So in this, Cooper, the alleged perpetrator, ordered garbage bags, zip ties, bleach, and a hatchet using a delivery app. Yeah. So the delivery driver delivers the actual goods to Neil Cooper's house or to the hotel room and then immediately goes to the hotel manager about the suspicious items, who then immediately calls police, and police immediately respond. Cooper, the alleged perpetrator, barricades himself in his room, claimed to have a gun. Officers establish communication. While doing this, the individual believed to be the hostage was able to safely escape the hotel room, or the motel room, I should say. And then a crisis negotiator from the Texas Department of Public Safety arrived on scene and negotiated Cooper's peaceful surrender. He was charged with aggravated kidnapping and had active warrants for drug offenses. Now, the story is a little bit hairy, right? Because the delivery driver, I mean, something bad could have happened real quickly. Think about it. You get an order for bleach, zip ties, garbage bags, and a hatchet. It's not the same as a roast beef sandwich. But thankfully, it all worked out. And boy, was this perpetrator just a big old dum-dum. Neil Cooper, 42 years old of Texas, must have hit his head on the stupid tree. Because, my goodness, you're going to try and commit a murder, presumably? And do it through a delivery app? Try again there, pal. All right, that does it for us. Thanks to AMAC on the other side of the glass. Great job by him. Thanks to all of you guys on the phones. Linnell is next. Burgundy and gold today. See you back here tomorrow at 1. Don't forget Dolphins Jets, 7 o'clock, following LW right here on the Team 980. Adios.
Well, thank you. Yeah, you can go sit down, Rusa. Goodbye.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.